Once again, let's get back to Milo's Internet Marketing on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back. We've got the Ask Andy segment, and the week's been piling up with questions that he really hasn't gotten to because we've been talking about Windows 7 and Snow Leopard and those kinds of operating systems. So let me turn right over to Andy. And Andy, I know you've got a lot to cover today.
Thank you, Milo. Yeah, we've been receiving a number of questions through through the website at milosinternetmarketing.com. Just to remind our listeners how to contact me if they do have any specific questions about computer-related questions or technical issues, anything like that. You can go to milosinternetmarketing.com, and on the right-hand side of the screen, there's a big red button that says Ask Andy. Go ahead and click on that button, shoot me an email, and you know, if your question is I'll reply to your email no matter what. But if your question is pertinent and can relate to other people, I might put you on the air like we are today. Like I said, milosinternetmarketing.com, Ask Andy on the right-hand side of the screen. Otherwise, it's askandyaquestion@AOL.com. That's askandyaquestion@AOL.com. So send me your emails and stop by milosinternetmarketing.com for all kinds of other goodies. Anyway, Milo, I'm going to start here with a question from Guy. And his question is, my hard drive crashed, so I purchased a replacement. Can viruses remain in other hardware components to reinfect replacement parts like the new hard drive? So essentially he's asking, can the virus spread past the hard drive onto other hardware, and then when he replaces the hard drive, can it reinfect the new hard drive? And the answer is really no. There's a small possibility that a virus might have infected the CMOS or the BIOS memory that's on your motherboard, but that type of virus is extremely rare and extremely difficult to write. If you're concerned about that, that is a possibility, then you should flash your system BIOS. And you could do this by going to your motherboard's website, and there should be a download for BIOS flash utility. And what that does is essentially erases all the memory off of your BIOS, your CMOS, and reinstalls it fresh, just like it came from the factory. So if you're worried about any virus, you know, staying hibernated in your motherboard, so to speak, and reinfecting new hardware, you could do this. But really, it's not something that you need to worry about, Guy. So relax, reinstall the new hard drive, and you should be just fine. I got a question from a gentleman named Wang, and his question is, how do you start the computer to see all of the icons on the desktop if Windows XP does not boot up? He says he sees these options and doesn't know how to use them. And he's talking about safe mode with networking, and the safe mode with command prompt. Well, here it is, Wang. When Windows has a problem and fails to boot properly, the next time you boot, it'll usually offer you those options, the safe mode with networking, and safe mode with command prompt. The safe mode will start Windows with the bare minimum of drivers and without any launched startup programs. So it's going to be plain Jane, the basics that Windows needs to load up, to operate, to show you a desktop. What this does is it gives you a chance to investigate the problem that you're having, even when you can't boot fully into Windows. If you have an anti-malware software or antivirus software, if you have one already installed, you can usually use that to run a scan in safe mode. Now, it won't, because safe mode doesn't load the launch and startup programs, your anti-malware software isn't necessarily going to be running, so it won't give you real-time protection, so don't start you know, using the internet or anything crazy like that. But most anti-malware softwares will allow you to run a scan while in safe mode, so then you could probably find the issue that caused your computer to stop working doing it that way. As far as the safe mode with networking, that's exactly what it sounds like. It's the safe mode that we just discussed, but with additional components enabled to make your network connections. So if for whatever reason you need, if your anti-malware is on the server and you need a network connection to access it, you can boot with the safe mode with the networking. And then you also asked about the safe mode with the command prompt. That gives you a command prompt only to work with. I doubt you're ever going to need this, Wang. I've used it very rarely, and it's just something that you very rarely need. So hope that answers some of your questions about safe mode and how you can recover your computer from some additional problems that may have arisen. Okay, moving on, Milo. I got a message here from Gary. And his question to me is, do 64-bit operating systems support 32-bit software? and will my 32-bit stuff work on a 64-bit computer? And lately I've gotten a lot of questions like this, too. Perhaps more and more computers are coming with their 64-bit processors. People are buying the new machines with the i7s and the 64-bit processors. So I'll just give you a few simple facts about 64-bit. If you have a 64-bit computer, that can run a 64-bit operating system, and that makes sense. That's common sense. Now, a 64-bit computer with a 64-bit operating system can run all 64-bit programs. That makes sense as well. Here's an answer to Gary's question here. A 64-bit computer will run a 32-bit operating system. Okay, so if your processor is 64-bit, you want to put a 32-bit operating system on there, that is no problem. With either a 32-bit or a 64-bit operating system, a 64-bit computer can also run all 32-bit programs. So again, if you have a 64-bit processor, you can install either operating system on it and run all of your older 32-bit programs. If you have a 64-bit computer with a 64-bit operating system, this will not run the very old DOS-based 16-bit programs. So if you're getting into the newer technologies, which most of us are at this point, say goodbye to your old 16-bit programs because they won't work. You'll probably find the occasional 32-bit program that has a compatibility issue with a 64-bit operating system like Windows. You can get around this usually by running Windows in a virtual 32-bit. It's part of Microsoft Virtual PC in Windows, and it'll run an application in a 32-bit mode. So you can do that if you have any compatibility problems with the 32-bit on your 64-bit operating system. But much more commonly, you're going to find that older printers and older peripherals don't have drivers for your 64-bit operating system. Now, this is a real issue. And what it is it really doesn't pay for the printer vendors or the peripheral vendor to spend time and money creating 64-bit drivers for a model of hardware that they're not supporting anymore. They're not selling it. They're not supporting it. So nothing's going to help you here. If the manufacturer doesn't make a 64-bit driver, then you just can't use that peripheral with the 64-bit operating system. So, Gary, hopefully that answers some of your questions about your new 64-bit computer. Congratulations on the new piece of technology. And if there's any more specifics that I didn't answer for you, shoot me another email at askandyaquestion@aol.com. Okay, moving on. I got a question here from Thomas. And his question is, when I change computer settings at the bottom of the screen, it shows the OK and Apply buttons. Thomas says he usually clicks the Apply button and then OK. But sometimes he skips the Apply step and just clicks the OK. And it seems to do exactly the same thing. His question is, can I save a step and just click OK without clicking Apply? In a word, yes. I'll detail that a little bit more for you, though, Thomas. Clicking OK essentially is the same as clicking Apply and OK. So it depends on what you're doing. There is a valid reason to use Apply versus OK, or both in sequence. What Apply does is it saves any changes that you've made on your settings screen without closing that dialog box or that window. So you would click Apply and not click OK if you made changes but still need to make additional changes on the same screen. So, for instance, if you have a dialog box that's got different tabs on it and you make a change on one of the tabs, you can click Apply. That will apply those settings to the computer in real time before you press OK, because then if you need to go on to another tab and make additional settings changes in another tab, or sometimes you just want to see what making that change will do. If it's changing your desktop background, you can apply it. It'll change the desktop background behind you. But if you don't like it, you can change it again or revert it by clicking cancel. It won't save the setting until you click OK. So if you cancel, that'll cancel out of that apply. So it does make a lot of sense for certain applications. But if you're constantly clicking apply and then OK, obviously it's just an extra click, but you're wasting your time. If you change your settings and you're happy with it and you know that that's what you're going to use, there's no reason to click apply before you click OK, because when you click OK, it will apply the settings, as you've made them. So hope that answers some of your question there, Thomas. I want to get into one more thing. I think we have time for one more thing. I've got a listener named Jim. We got Jim here. He says he's running Windows Vista. He's got an external USB drive on his computer at work. He plugs it in and it shows up as a drive letter E. He's talking about fixing inconsistent external drive letters. So he plugs in a USB flash drive or thumb drive at work, and it appears as drive letter E on his computer at work. He takes it home on his laptop, and sometimes it shows up as different drive letters. This is pretty easy to solve. What I would recommend to do here is there's a disk management utility in Windows. What you'd want to do is plug this USB drive into your computer that you're having problems with inconsistencies. Plug it in, then go to the disk manager. You can go either through the control panel. Or there's also a Windows shortcut. Click on Run. Disk Management, abbreviated. So it's diskmgmt.msc. You type that into your Run box, and that'll launch your disk management utility. What you'll see there is your hard drive partitions, and this USB drive should show up there as well. If you right-click on the USB drive, you can assign it a permanent drive letter through Windows. And what that means is you can make it any letter you want. You can make it R, S, T. What that'll do is that anytime you plug that particular USB flash drive into your computer, Windows will recognize it as the drive that you told it to use this specific drive letter, and it'll maintain that drive letter. So you won't have to worry about inconsistencies between work and at home or that type of thing. It'll always have the same drive letter. So real quick, I know I'm not too specific on that one, Jim, but I hopefully answered your question on that. And we're running out of time, so I'm going to throw it back to Milo here, and hopefully we'll get to some more of your questions. Remember to log on to milosinternetmarketing.com and click on Ask Andy to send me a question, and also check out all the other cool features on that website.
Great way to get information that you're not sure of, just askandy.com. Also, we want to remind you, starting this Friday, September 18th, Milo's Radio Giveaway.com will become active and live, and you can get a lot of freebies. We're giving away all kinds of things for you. Again, that's again, it depends on when you listen to this, but that's September 18th it begins. That's Milo's Radio Giveaway.com, and lots of things up there that you can. There's 57 different marketers that combined are giving all kinds of things away. So a great way to get things for yourself.
Is this stuff I can get for free, Milo?
Yes, it sure is. Just you'll be able to on that day is go down and put your email and name in there, and you'll be sent a link to get all these kinds of.
And what's that website again?
Milo's Radio Giveaways. Milo'sRadioGiveaway.com.
So, okay. I'll check it out.
Please do. That's about all for today. I want to thank our engineer, Randy Meyer, TalkZone.com, and especially you, our listeners. We appreciate you. Until next time, this is Milo saying so long, everybody.